Good evening. Welcome to our prayer and teaching call for the Republic of the United States of America. This is Wade Butler, the chaplain. I want to welcome everybody and thank you for being on. It's an honor and privilege, as always, to be here. We're going to be talking about a few topics tonight. Primarily, Matt is going to be bringing a teaching. We're going to talk about the time and season and where we are and what God is saying. Before I start praying, though, I'm going to ask John to... Matter of fact, John, will you do the Eastern? I think that's an important trumpet tonight. This is the one from the East, if you can pull it up. And then we'll start prayer. Glory. Father, we come in the name of Yeshua. We come worshiping you and thanking you with the sound of the trump. Lord, there's a great and mighty blast getting ready to blow. And it's coming from the east, going west. And it's going to shake the very foundation of this nation as it shakes the world. And we need to be in aligned with your sound, with your way, your will. So we ask this night that you would bring a fresh anointing, that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart of understanding to know the mind of Christ, to know your heart, to know the significance of the times and the seasons that we're in, that you've received the glory and that we can press into that. Holy Spirit, come with fresh, dunamis power, and that just means power, power. That just means power, power, and let your grace come. And fill every area of our lives, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, that it would destroy the yokes of bondage and shake loose everything that needs to be shaken out of our lives. That your presence, your power, your anointing would rest upon us. That people would see, physically see, the glory of you and the aura around us. That your angels would encamp around about us and that you would guide us in all truth and righteousness and holiness. For your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's sake. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a privilege and an honor. And blowing the shofar, it awakens the spirit within me every time. Every time I hear that sound, it stirs within me the Spirit of God to say, hey, rise up, rise up. It's time. This weekend we had a wonderful teaching by Robert Heidler. Dr. Heidler is our primary teacher at Glory of Zion, and it was opening up heaven with a new song and a new sound. There's a new spiritual power coming. There's a dunamis, a power coming from God, and it's going to come in a sound. And that sound is God speaking and thundering, just like he did in Exodus, the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and it pulled the people together. And God is saying, I'm sending a sound, and it's going to come like the sound of a trumpet, and it's going to echo across the land through the valleys and on the mountains and over the plains. And it's going to be different in that it's going to call the Spirit awake in everyone that has ears to hear. And God is saying he's literally going to shake the world spiritually out of their bondage, out of their dullness, out of their hard-heartedness, and it's going to be through a sound. And those that have ears to hear are going to hear it and wake up, and that revival, that anointing, that freshness is getting ready to break forth like not seen or heard before. Martin Luther, when he penned the gospel and the petition on the church door, he helped people take the word and put it into the new sound. There was singing of songs and blowing of shofars outside the church and the synagogues. It blew and resonated everywhere that it was a new season. It was a new time. And he was greatly persecuted for it. I mean, they came after him with a vengeance, but at the same time, God raised up the church at that time, and he's raising up the third great awakening. And I believe that we're in that time and season where it's going to come about, and literally even the hymns, the old favorite hymns and the old favorite songs that we've loved so dearly in the past are going to be changing. God is bringing about new music, new songs, new sounds. David Pimbleton's on tonight. David has talked to me many times about God has given him songs that he's got to bring out. Now's the season. Others have got new songs that are going to lift up praises to the Lord that have not been heard on earth. But God is saying it's time to hear and see what I'm about to do, because from my very throne I'm sending forth the sounds and the songs that are going to release the people from bondage. In Katie Sousa's book, Healing of the Wounded Souls, she has a chapter 12. Chapter 12 is called Staying Free. And literally, worship heals the soul. The whole chapter is about worshiping the Lord. And it goes back to when Jesus was on earth, he gave a commandment to his disciples. He says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all my strength." It's out of Mark 12:30. Worship, literally, is that. It's fulfilling that commandment that we're going to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. And literally, the gifts and the signs and wonders and miracles are being poured out because of worship. Several weeks ago, when Pastor Ron Harvey was on, he briefly talked about the ministry that he has, and then how in worship the cloud formed. And it's in, you can look it up. In his teachings and also online, and he has it on Facebook, a cloud formed in the church over the pulpit, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger until it filled across the front of the church, and then it literally rained gold, and signs, wonders, and miracles started taking place in that congregation. Now, I've heard of those type of things happening in the past, and it's happening again. If anybody has ever seen... oh, gosh, this is terrible. I just lost her name. Gosh, early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. She helped birth the Pentecostal movement. And she would have literally glory clouds would come in. And wherever the glory cloud was in the congregation, everybody under it got healed. Catherine
Coleman.
Yeah. And literally... The glory filled the place. And I can tell you this, there's going to be you, each one of us are going to be sitting in our offices, our homes, and the cars at work, and the glory is going to fill those places, and there's going to be healings. There's going to be breakthroughs. There's going to be signs and wonders that are going to take place in your life. And you're going to think, wow. And it's going to be quite significant in that it will shake the foundation that you're in. It'll shake you, but then it's going to shake others around you, because things are going to take place that you have talked about and you've waited on, and nothing has happened, but all of a sudden they've happened, and it's going to seem like suddenly. When we look at the time that we're in, I'm up right now. I want to talk about the time we're in. This is another very significant week, and those of you that have kept up with what we shared about the constellations, about the blood moons, and we're in a very unique timing and situation again in the heavens, and how it's going to affect us in the body of Christ and the church and the nations. You know, I had an old saying, not I, but it was an old saying when I was growing up. My girl used to talk about it, and so let it be a blue moon. And a blue moon literally... was where you had two moons in one month, one calendar month. So a blue moon is unique in the fact that when they first happened, a lot of times they would appear blue as they were rising, and that was the atmospheric dust and the reflection off the earth. and the seas. But then what it became to be recognized as, and this is from, you know, generations back, all the way back to Israel, as a blue moon came about, so in our current calendar, we had one at the beginning of January. It was January 2nd, was a full moon. And now we're having another full moon tomorrow night. And then there's no full moon in February. And or Wednesday night. And then in March, we have a full moon on the 1st and the 31st again. So it's called a super blue blood moon. You say, well, how can it be a blue blood moon? Starts out a blue haze and then it turns to the blood moon, and it's actually going to be one of the closest times that the moon gets near the earth as a blood moon. I say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it falls on the evening right after the president's State of the Union message. Now, some people say, well, it ain't got anything to do with it. Well, Israel and the leaders in Israel don't think so. They believe that this moon, which is also a lunar eclipse, so this is going to be pretty significant, as back in the last weeks of September, where the only time the constellation had come, this is a very significant time because we got a lunar eclipse, a blue moon, and a blood moon. And the last time that happened is over 150 years ago, where they all fit at the same night. So it begins at 5:51 Eastern Standard Time and then closes in the western skies over this United States. And weather permitting, it'll be seen everywhere in the United States. And it's going to be significant in the realm of the spirit in that Israel has come to pray, thanking the Lord that the President of the United States has announced the moving of the embassies to recognize the capital of Israel as Jerusalem. And at the same time, it'll be the night, you know, after, it'll be in the evening of the next day. It will be the time right after his presentation and speech. And we don't know what all God's getting ready to do. We just know that it is a time and a season as not seen in our lifetimes. And God is saying this is a season and a time where he is releasing literally upgrades. And when I say upgrades, I'm talking about new signs, wonders, visions, greater depth and knowledge and understanding, revelation that's not been given before. You know how you can read a scripture and over again, and it's like the 15th time you've read it, all of a sudden the light comes on. And you go, gosh, I didn't realize that this is what God's saying. And he's saying, right now, he's bringing it about to such a way that it's like birthing of a fire. It's like fire is lighting under our souls. And the prophets and the apostles and the pastors and teachers, evangelists, the intercessors, the praise people, they're all coming to this point where they're getting a new encounter, a fresh encounter from the Lord, and everybody can have it. God is saying this is going to be a season of greater accuracy and clarity and understanding of what he's doing. And most of you are on a regular basis. You'll remember me saying over and over again the last couple months that we're going into a season where if you do not pay attention to what God is saying, it could mean life or death. We're literally at that point. I've got a dear brother that's just joined us, Pastor Van Samuels. He's been doing a teaching series on the altars and the Holy of Holies. And God would say if the men of God, the priests, did not do exactly what God said, judgment would fall upon them and they would die. Remember, they had to have a rope tied around their ankle with a bell on it? And when they go into the Holy of Holies, that's because God killed so many of them for walking in with unpure thoughts and hearts and not of the right attitude towards the Father. So God is saying we're stepping into a season where he's declaring to his people that they're going to literally hear from God and then immediately have to do what God said. So there's going to be circumstances in every one of our lives where God is going to say something to us, and it's going to make a difference. And when I say life or death, years ago I had a gentleman that we were friends in the church, and God had given me a fresh vision and anointing, and he walked up to me to tell me something, and I turned around, and God read his mail. And I literally spoke to him, and I said, if you do this one more time, you will die in the church. And his eyes got real big, and he says, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not talking physical death. You're going to die in the body of Christ. You are not going to be able to hear or do what God's saying to do because your sin has caused you to die in the body. And God is saying, you know, there are going to be those that spiritually are going to die, but there's also going to be those that are physically going to die. So God is saying in this season, cleanse your hearts, prepare your hearts. He's coming. He's coming with a new and a fresh anointing, and he's blowing the trumpet. Now, we can tie in, and I'm going to, you know, run off with this just for a moment. God is saying that today he put a trump in a marketplace. He put Obama in place. He put President Trump in place. A lot of people, oh, he didn't put Obama. Oh, yes, he did, because he had to judge the nation. And now he's put a man in place to bring the nation out of judgment to cause those that had fallen asleep to wake up. So we're getting ready to move, not just through him. And you know, he's God's man for the hour. He's the one that's been put upon the wall to blow the trumpet and cause the people to wake up. God is saying that I'm giving you a whole new vision for the nation. Now, if there's any way that I can physically do it, and I'm asking God to make a way, I want to be at Azusa Street the first week of April when Pastor Ron and the Native Americans, our First Nations people, come together to begin Azusa Street again. Because there's going to be times of intimacy that's going to be beyond anything you're going to find in your own church, beyond what you found in your living room or your bedroom or on your face, because God is rebirthing it. He is reigniting the fire of Azusa Street. It's going to be, as we walk into this year, it's going to be the greatest season of fire that has felt in the body of Christ probably since the turn of the century, and I'm talking 1900, when the great move of God came about. So he's saying, prophesy, all you that prophesy, prophesy, fire, fire, fire. When John and Matt joined me at Glory of Zion, they joined me, but I was, you know, there before them, and they came, and we got together, and we had Brother Mosley join us, and Brother Mosley said, what is this teacher like? And it was a situation, I just had one word. I said, fire. He said, what? I said, he brings fire. And that's what we're going to be bringing. We're going to be the priest that bring fire to the altar, but we have to have it with the right attitude and heart that it's pure fire. It's from God. It's not impure fire. It's not of us. It's of God. And the fire of his presence, his love, his passion, and his vision are going to greatly increase this season. So many prophets are pressing in to see and hear, and they are seeking God in such a way as not before. And that is the season we're going into. We have to have the mind of Christ. God said, if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. Now, that's pretty simple. Proverbs, that's out of James. And Proverbs says, as wisdom increases, a great treasure is imparted, greater than any bars of gold that are refined. It is more valuable a commodity than gold and gemstones. There's nothing you desire that could compare to her. Now, it's interesting. I'm part of a group called Gemstone University, and we deal in gold and gemstones and a lot of knowledge. And Proverbs 3:7 says, for the wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Well, to avoid everything that's wrong, we need to have the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and stay deep in his presence and word in humility that we can see and hear and know what he's saying for the season. So the Lord is pouring out as not before. And it's bringing about in the earth realms. He's bringing about signs in the heavens. He's bringing about signs here on earth. I mean, look at the earthquakes and the volcanoes and all the things that are happening right now. And he says, I'm bringing about a shaking in the church, and it's going to cause revival, renewal, resurrection of the word being brought forth, because signs, wonders, and miracles will bring it. But that takes a fresh fire. So God's saying, look into the mountains, look into the hills, look unto him. Look up is what he's saying, and press in as you've never pressed before, because everything around you is getting ready to be shaken. And there are going to be those in this nation that are going to run in fear. There are going to be those that are going to run to man. Matt and I talk about this some, because we both have represented technologies. There's going to be technologies come out this year. I've already been told about many of them, that are so beyond anything that we have understanding of, that when people are able to get the vibration technology, let's just use that as a term, and all of a sudden cancer's destroyed. Are they able to regenerate stem cells and DNA? And that is going to cause a falling away to those that are borderline, because they're going to start worshiping man and technology rather than God. At the same time, the suddenlies are going to come, and those suddenlies are the signs, wonders, and miracles that are going to literally be competing, or the enemy is going to be competing through these technologies against the Word of God, and people are going to say, look what God did. Well, the suddenlies didn't come just overnight. It's just that they finally arrived in our lives. Suddenlies are just like you take a musician or an actor, and they say, man, is all of a sudden he was there. Well, women spent 10, 15, 20 years getting ready to do something, finally get recognized, and God is saying it's the same thing with his body. Those are the men and women who have been on their knees, that have sought after him in such a way that they hear the sound of what he's bringing, that fresh sound I talked about in the beginning, the new shofar, the new music instrument, the new worship. Or the old worship that we've done for so long is not going to have any meaning. It'll seem like dead music. And God is saying the suddenlies have been laid through years of prayer, years of study, from crying out, from seeking me with a pure heart, asking for wisdom, and activating the miracles in his glory. So God is literally bringing these things about this season because he wants us prepared. He wants to heal our souls. He wants to heal the wounds. He wants to shake everything that can be shaken so he can move upon us and have a people that are ready. So when we talk about the 10 virgins and having their oil has a whole lot. It's more than just oil for a lamp. That lamp is the light, and the oil is the preparation for the light. And it's far more detailed than just going out and getting Holy Spirit. It's pressing into Holy Spirit. It's worshiping. It's getting your heart right, seeking after God. Now, you know, he takes you wherever you are. But the attitude is what we have to look at. It's the attitude of the heart that we can be free and be healed. God is going to open up the revelation this season through his Holy Spirit, and Katie Sousa talks about it in her book, and that's the dunamis power. Dunamis power just means power, power. Dunamis is the word that means power. And he's going to bring it about during worship in such a way that it shakes the foundation around you. You're going to hear sounds. You're going to recognize the presence of God, the angelic host. You're going to go into warfare in worship. And in that warfare and worship, you're going to tear down the strongholds. You're going to break off sicknesses, disease, and infirmities. It's going to cause healing, deliverance, salvation. It's going to cause signs, wonders, and miracles. And there are going to be those that have fallen to the scientific side and worshiping man, and they're going to try to do everything that God's doing, copying it. Now, would I like to get a hold of those equipments and technologies? Oh, absolutely. At the same time, what I really want is God's. Give me God's real versus man's imitation. An imitation may work, but it doesn't deal down in the soul. And that's where we are. We're at a time in a season where everything that's within our soul is going to be laid out at the altar. And it's going to take the fire of God to light the sacrifice, to cleanse us to the point that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and are able to press in such a way that the glory of God rests upon us and He is glorified. Father, I want to thank You for an opportunity to bring a word of encouragement in the time and the season that we're in. Help us to press in that when the suddenlies come, it's a fresh and a new anointing that breaks the yokes, that changes us, that You receive glory, and that signs, wonders, and miracles will take place, and we're going to be a part of it. We are the generation that has been chosen to be here for such a time as this. Help us as we worship. Help us as we press in and pray and set the groundwork for the suddenlies. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is pure and right before You, that we can receive the fire from heaven to light the altar within us, that the incense may come up pure and holy for Thy glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
John is going to bring a word. Matt's going to bring a teaching. John's got a little, going to give us some encouragement. And Matt's going to bring a teaching. Then I'm going to ask for some prayer. Van, I see you joined us. Good evening, and I want to thank you for being here. I'm going to ask you to pray a little later if you can stay on. It's an hour from now probably before we get there, but it'd sure be worth it if you can. And others, Mark, I'm going to ask of you and probably Richard and a couple other folks. So as you listen to what God's saying tonight, will you take note and pray accordingly? John Rockwell, has been my right hand, and Matt joined in with me a couple years ago and joined us, and we kind of have decided to go in a little different direction. I took longer tonight than I intended originally, just what was on my heart. John's got something to bring. Matt's going to bring a teaching. Then we're going to go into some prayer. So, John Rockwell.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thanks, Wade. I'll keep my comments tonight brief. There's a few things that I'd kind of wrestled with talking about in the beginning. I talked to Matt briefly last week about it, and then there was another one that I really haven't spoken about, but the past couple of weeks I've had a couple of dreams. And the first one I want to talk about, and give you a little bit of the background. All my kids are grown and out of the house, have their own kids, and I've got grandkids as well. But when my boys were young, my wife had a miscarriage and didn't really talk about it a whole lot. And this last week, I visited my daughter, which is the miscarriage that my wife had, that we had, and was able to see her and recognize her because she looks very similar to my wife, and she wanted to let us know that she's okay and, you know, that things are good where she's at. And so that was the first time that I've been able to visit her. The second dream that I had was earlier last week, and I was climbing a ladder. It was perpendicular to the ground. So in other words, it was straight up and 90 degrees at the bottom. And I climbed up and turned around and probably was 50 feet in the air. And I thought, well, this is pretty high. And the Lord said, well, go ahead and jump off. And I said, well, it's too high. I can't do that. He said, well, just trust me. You know, you'll be fine if you do it. But this is a trust thing that you need to do. I said, but it's so high. He says, just jump off and trust me. So I jumped off. And as I did, I kind of just easily floated back to the ground and touched the ground. And that's where that particular dream ended. The word there is just to trust God, what He's doing. And His ways are always above our ways in that regard. So it's something you can take to heart. Some of the good words that came out this week and actually late last week as well. The first one I want to start off with is from Samantha Lee. She's from Singapore, and what she has to say is that a lot of us have been overwhelmed with giants, and we're going to overcome those giants. The Lord's beginning to show us how his people, as you step into this year, it's like the floodgates have been unleashed, and you're facing one challenge and one discouragement setback after another. This has seemed to be the direction that things have been going, and hope and great promise you've expected for this year. These giants have caused many to wonder, what in the world's going on? And she sensed the Lord saying, my people need to look at their past giants and see the promised land is just beyond them. They need to have their eyes open to see the commander of the host of angels is with them, which in other words, the Lord, and they're going to be surrounded by the angel armies. Another good word in Romans 8, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in all of us, if you're born again believers. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. The same Spirit that lives within you is within us. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will be pouring out his bride. It will extend out to shift the atmosphere of cultures and nations. Many people who have prayed for a great increase in anointing will see the answers this year. Many hold many bold, faith-filled prayers from the heart of God will be answered this year as well. And another good word, this one is from who? Let me back up here. This is from Charles Shemp from here in the United States. He saw two E's resting on the earth. One was earthquakes, and the other one was eruptions. We've entered into a time of spiritual and natural earthquakes and eruptions where the spiritual will be paralleled with the natural, and we can see that happening at a greater frequency here on earth. So it's going to be happening, and it is happening in the heavens as well. It'll be a time of great rejoicing for some, but also some great sorrow for others. Great grace will be needed by the church during this time to walk in the days ahead. The choice of desire will be handed to nations sealed for time and season. Over the past couple of weeks, I've had the feeling the earth is moving under my feet, and the ground felt like it was unsettled for me. As I've been waiting on the Lord, the nations flashed before me. I heard the Lord say there'll be a sizable shakings from the grounds in 2018. Natural earthquakes will greatly increase this year across the nations, but so too my glory, shaking with revival, renewal, resurrection, and restoration. Lana Bosser had this to say, one person down under that we use quite often. She says the enemy is doing all it can against the new visions that God is birthing, and she felt the Lord was saying new visions. He is releasing required intense focus. Keep hearing the words, being intentional and keeping your hands to the plow. The Lord is uncovering the distractions that have been coming against many, and those distractions have come hard and fast against many's new visions, because the vision that the Lord is birthing through you is moving into the whole new realm of revelation, encounter, increase, creativity, breakthrough for your life and those that you minister to, which is exactly what we're doing on this call. And Wade kind of alluded to those as well. Father Jehovah, we just to come before you now wanting to praise you for these good words and just to bringing this all before you and just thanking you for this day. We want to pray a special blessing on President Trump tomorrow as he gives his State of the Union address, that there will be no interference with that particular address that he's going to give. And then what he gives will be something that will encourage the American people and just to shut down all the negativity that's going to be surrounding that, to where what he says will be clear and people will be able to receive it as the positive message that it's going to be. And we just praise you and thank you for this time. And it's in Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matt is going to share a bunch of things tonight about what is going on this week in his life. More importantly, he has got a word about the mind of Christ and that which God is doing and how it affects us. So, Matt Frazier.
Thanks. You know, as we look at all the things that are changing politically and we can see the world just being reshuffled by the Lord, you know, the physical signs are everywhere around us. And we hear all the things that are talked about spiritual. But the thing that's really impressed me on my heart is, what do we need to do individually? And really, that's what this message is about. And I'm going to start out by reading Ephesians 1, where Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know what the hope is of which he's called you to, what the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, we've read that many times, but I believe the heart being enlightened, the eyes of our heart, being able to understand, having the Lord open that up to us, is the key for what we need to do to be able to engage as the Lord moves. Paul Keith Davis wrote this: "It is the destiny of this generation of the overcoming saints to enter the fullness of the stature of Christ. It will be their calling to taste the good word of God and the powers of the age to come," which it says in Hebrews 6. "We have only seen isolated forerunners who have introduced this more excellent way. A new day is upon us. This divine life is in the blood of Jesus, and our quest is for more comprehensive of its power." You know, in a spiritual sense, what he's talking about is an alignment and being able to be in the flow and to reach that path of maturity which the Lord wants to bring us to. You know, ever since we were a child, we were trained to do things a certain way, from left to right. You know, first we're taught to read from left to right. We're taught to write that way from left to right. We develop patterns of thinking based on analytical process. You know, if you look at the left and right brain, which we've probably all done, the traits are pretty interesting. You know, the left brain is linear thinking, sequential processing, logical decisions. The right brain is holistic, random processing, intuitive thought processes. You know, overall thinking on the left is linear, detail-oriented, whereas the right is big picture, and the thought processes on the left are sequential, whereas on the right side it's random. There's a big difference between the way the left and the right function. Simply, the left brain is logic, and the right side is where our creative side comes, our imagination. You know, as a child, we use both sides. You know, we're learning all these things, how to speak and how to write and all those things, the analytical things of the world, yet we're still full of the imagination and the wonder. And as we get older, the mind continues to draw us away from that. And the Lord really wants to draw us back into that childlike place with him. You know, the gateway to the renewed mind and sanctified imagination begins when we start using the form of meditation and use our imagination in that way to approach the Lord in a very humble way. I mean, it's the key for us to see in the Spirit and move in demonstration of the Spirit, understanding that true language of the Lord. You know, when we speak in tongues, it's a way of just submitting to the Spirit. And over time, religion and other things, and the enemy has corrupted that. That's why Yeshua opened that doorway to us. He came to set the captives free. I love the verse in 2 Corinthians 4:4 where it says, "In the case the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, that scripture tells us very plainly that the things of this world fill our minds with junk, keeping us from allowing us to see that true light and allowing that transformation to come deep in us. You know, we've often done a lot of things to clean up our souls and our generational lines, and those things are continuous process throughout our life. But the Lord is trying to do something even more powerful now. You know, the Lord recently showed me just this week something that was said by my mother long, long ago, and it had the reference to a specific part of my character. And as I look back in it, there was a framework put around those very words. They have so much power in all of us. You know, the world would say, I'm my own man. I control my own destiny. And it's true to a point. But little words like that could open up gateways to the adversary, and they can affect us, even if we don't realize it, deep within us. That's where the Lord comes in and he highlights those things. We need to allow him into the very core, the most private places of our soul, so that he can highlight those things. You know, it's just his desire to bring us into that place. It's his desire to heal us. You know, we've been taught about the courts of heaven, but yet we've only scratched the surface of the healing and the restoration that the Lord wants to release on this earth. You know, 1 Corinthians tells us that no eye has seen, nor ears heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It's time for us to step into that. It's time for us personally, each one of us, to get into that place of submissiveness where the Lord can continue to work in each one of us. This season, he's moving rapidly. I mean, we can see the outward signs in the natural. How much more is going on in the spiritual? But in order to do that, there's going to be a certain amount of reprogramming that's going to have to take place in each one of us. You know, with the Israelites, he taught them differently from the start. He taught them how to read from right to left. He taught them the Hebrew language, which is pictorial. And everything he taught was a little different than the way we're taught, which is linear or Greek thinking. If we look at an equation, 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6. That's the way we read it. But to a Hebrew, it means 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6 equals 3 plus 2 plus 1. The end equals the beginning. It's circular. It's a different mindset. And just as the great I am is the same today, yesterday, and forever, we need to understand his heart and his mindset for each one of us. You know, his word, as it says in Jeremiah, is like a fire that consumes us. And it's like a hammer that breaks into pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance. Well, that resistance sometimes is us. There is no greater resistance. In many ways, we've been fed a steady diet of stuff that's not good for our souls. It's time that we get on a lean, clean cuisine and we stop eating all the junk food. Just because it looks good, the word is pleasing to our ears, or it brings a message of judgment against something that we don't like, in reality, it's irrelevant unless it's something that God has directed directly to you and your spirit resonates with it. A lot of what we hear out there lacks real substance, so we need to be very intentional to hear the Lord clearly. We need to understand exactly what he's doing in each one of us. Lana Vassar said this: the Lord has been speaking to me since last year regarding vision and how imperative and important it is for the body of Christ to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, to be aligned and engaged with what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Since crossing over in 2018, I've been sensing an incredible amount of confusion in the atmosphere. There's a lot of fear that has been swirling around, and the Lord has been showing me many who have been battling with confusion over the vision. I think she hit the nail on the head. The truth of the matter is, We have lots of voices, lots of teaching, lots of things, some from the adversary, but some from the body itself. But there's only one that's going to transform each one of us from the inside. You know, our mindsets, our worldviews, our strongholds, they're all filters for things that we process. And they're things that build up filters within us. The Lord wants to reshape that in each one of us. He wants to reset it according to his view, not a worldview, not our personal view, not anything else. He wants us to be in tune with him. And instead of having a consciousness of the natural, we should have a God consciousness. You know, Friday morning I woke up and the Lord was just highlighting a lot of things to me. And as I pondered in the spirit, I was looking and I got up and this post came up and it just really hit me. It's from Mike Parsons. It says, we need to keep in step with what God is doing and grow into mature people. And the things of the kingdom of God, the things that God has done in the past years were something of immaturity in a way, because it seemed like they were milk at the time, but then God opened up revelation after revelation. He says the books are open and prophetic insight is being revealed. Everything as God has done up to those years has just been some immature stuff. He said the teaching and practicing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, were not the final end game. They just brought us to a certain level of maturity. And the past revivals that have happened, same thing. But what's happening now is much greater. It's going to bring us into a greater level of discernment. But we have to practice and have our senses trained according to God. We don't need to continue to have the milk. We need to have the solid food, as Paul said in the scriptures. We need to train our senses in the levels of the realms of the government of the kingdom of God, which go way beyond some of the things we've been taught in the past, into the full manifestation of kingdom authority from heaven to earth. God has moved, and he wants us to come after him. You know, because he has moved, we will become uncomfortable if we stay in the same position we always were. Things will no longer work as they did in the past if we try to stay in that mold. If he's working on your heart, it's because he wants you to step into that greater level. God is moving us from his presence to his glory. What we have in his presence is wonderful, but he actually wants us to go much deeper. He wants us to take us much higher in the glory. We have to learn to live in dual realms so that we can truly manifest and be those sons on the earth. As I listened to this, I thought, wow. You know, it's the truth. We've heard many people talk about the revivals, and we've talked about, you know, all the great things and the ministries, everything that's been birthed out of them. Yahweh has honored all of that. Yet what he's releasing now has taken us from the fires of the past into the latter rain. We all have an opportunity to step into this far greater glory than before, but it's going to be based on our own ability to step into his presence and ascend into the heart of the Father that's going to bring us into that maturity. Psalms 42 says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves roll over me. That scripture is just the glory of that presence, of getting into that place. And there's only one place that'll do that, one place that'll transform you. It's just getting into the gates, through the gate of the Lord himself. Recently, I had that experience of being in the heavenly realm, and there was many things that I saw. But one thing in particular jumped out to me was this word. To the degree you are hidden in Christ will determine the amount of glory you can walk in. So my question for all of us tonight is, how much of Christ is in us? And how much of that glory do we want personally? I love the words in John 17 when Jesus prays for all. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Basically, he's given you the blueprint right there of that relationship, so that we may become mature and brought into the complete unity. He goes on to say in verse 24, Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So how hungry are we? You know, the invitation's there in the Word. The time is there. The doors are open. The books are open. It's a matter of us stepping into that reality. And it's just like the Hebrew, the circular. In essence, the beginning equals the end. The Lord wants to bring us back to the reality of who we were before we were programmed so much by this world. I love in Luke 12 in the Passion Translation, it says, don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives his kingdom realm with all its promises. Again, the promises and the doorways are open. We just need to step into the Lord where he is. Yeshua asked Peter that question, and he says, who is going into heaven and is at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him? Again, Yeshua just laid it all out for the apostles to step into. And picking up back in Ephesians 1:19, we pray that we will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of your power made available to us through faith, that our lives will be manifested reality of this immense power as it works through us. That's that mighty power that was released when Yahweh raised Yeshua from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor. It's just, it's awesome to think about. You know, he is exalted, the first above every rule, authority, government, and realm of power and existence. And we have the opportunity to take part in that. And as he continues to move, it's just his call for each one of us to come into the fullness. Verse 23 says, now we're the body on earth. Fill us that we may become the fullness of you in every way. So recently, I attended two memorial services, and as I did, I reflected on those today, and all this stuff just came flooding through to me. You know, I had one on Saturday and one today. Interestingly, the one man that I went on Saturday had a very great story. He graduated from Baltimore Polytechnic Institute as an engineer back in 1933. You know, he pursued his education, and he ended up getting a BS from Johns Hopkins, and he held degrees from West Point, Yale, and American University, where he got his PhD. He was a three-star general. The other funeral, which I went to today, was a lady who was 92 years old. She led a simple life as a loving mom and wife, serving the Lord faithfully. The general commanded troops in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and after the 92nd Infantry Division was decimated in 1944, he brought a battalion of Germans through the West Coast until the end of the war. The lady raised wonderful children, and one of her children serves as a minister in music. One is a composer of choir music, and the other stayed local with both parents as they matured. The general was appointed as a strategic negotiator for the Army. You know, he was very strategic in the arms talks, the SALT talks, under Presidents Nixon, Ford, and Carter. In 1979, he retired, but he came back under Ronald Reagan to be part of the START talks. He had a very illustrious career and affected a lot of people. He was 100 years old when he finally stopped. He was blind over the last 10 years, yet he still continued to write books and he still continued to do a lot of things. The mother, on the other hand, lived a quiet life after that, enjoying her grandchildren and just being a joy to everyone she touched. And as I looked at these, there's a stark difference between these two. One was this decorated, you know, world-changing person. The other was a simple mother who raised kids in a godly perspective. Both of them touched lives, and both were filling testimonies. And as I started to think about it, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me because of the stark differences. But he said, you know, it's not about all the accomplishments. He said it's about the lives. You know, it's about touching that life. Both were a season, and they gave something special, an unselfish love, a desire to do what's right, and an uncompromising will to go out of their way to give of themselves. And as I thought about that, I thought about Christ and his parable with the sheep. He says, does not the shepherd go leave the 99 to go after the one? Because it's the heart of the Father. In John 15, he says, greater love is no one than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. It's all about the love. What we really need to do is change this year. We need to get in that mindset where the Lord, that humble position, just as these people represented, to where the Lord can just take one life, one moment, one situation at a time and work through us. Just as Paul Keith Davis said, to seize the destiny of the generation of overcoming saints, to enter into that fullness of the stature of Christ. You know, remember, we can't get there. There's no way to get there by intellectual ascent. You know, the church has framed and proclaimed lots of things over the years, and they've done it through the left brain, but it's truly only through the cross, through that self-sacrifice and that love, that we're going to be transformed and we're going to transform this world. You know, John 10 tells us that Jesus says, I am the gate. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Anyone who enters through him will be saved, and they will come and go and find pasture. That is the door, the eternal door. And really what we need to understand is we need to lay it all down. We need to lay down our personal agendas, our biases, and our wants at the feet as we enter into that place through that gate and allow him just to work through us. If we follow his pattern, our hearts will be open to major transformation. In verse 17, it says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You know, he had a choice, but it was the love that really changed everything. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, Paul, talking about his own life, through all the trials and tribulations and the three missionary journeys that he took, he says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I mean, he grew so much when you read through the scriptures and you read through his letters, you can see the transformation in his heart. And as I was looking at this yesterday, there was 10 years from the time of his conversion on the road to Damascus. There was a great time of maturity that happened. And as he started to go throughout the land and preach, he just matured greatly. And if you have your communion elements, you might want to get them now, and I want to lead us in communion. And I'm going to start out by just reading something from Bob Jones, because, again, this struck me. You know, of course, he had this near-death experience where he actually died, and the Lord brought him back. And the Lord says, I want to bring you back to raise up my leaders, and you will see the beginning of the billion-soul harvest and the return of glory. Well, that was many, many years ago in 1975, yet here we are on the cusp of something being birthed. But I love this when Bob said, there's only one question the Lord will ask you when you stand before him in death. Did you learn to love? All the foundations of God are built on love. If you learn to love, then you have obeyed everything God wants you to do. Love. He is our greatest pleasure. When you are in love with Jesus, he becomes your greatest possession and pleasure. And I think that's the doorway and the key for all of us in this season to step into all these things. If the powers and the things the Lord wants to release are all up to us to be in that alignment, in that place of his heart. And as we have these communion elements, we just want to think about that. In 1 John 5, it says, the one who came by water and blood and the Spirit was Christ. He did not only come by the water, but by water, blood, and the Spirit. The three testify. And that is the key. It's just the Lord giving everything. His greatest love, his greatest joy was to take it and lay it all down so that we would have access into that. As we prepare our hearts and we prepare for this time of communion, we just remember his body and that great sacrifice that he just took everything for us. And I think in a way, it set the tone for all of us for this season. So, Lord, as we take this body, Lord, we just thank you for your great love and the ultimate roadmap and blueprint for us to follow, Lord, in this season is just to draw closer to you. As Lord, as we are here with you, we see the cross. We see you and this great love that you just poured out for each one of us, Lord. We take this in honor of you. Lord, let our hearts just be open this season to be transformed in a greater way and revelation to understanding who you are and who we are in you, that we may become one. As we take this communion, Lord, let that just resonate deep within us. Let your Spirit just come and just be one, entangled with each one of us. Partake of the bread. Lord, and as we take this cup that represents your blood, only your blood can bring the righteousness and the purity, Lord, in each one of us. It is the blood that just cleanses us, all of us, Lord, and it is your righteousness that is imputed to us by us stepping into that, Lord, by receiving that wholeheartedly, Lord. We just take this, Lord, and we just ask that you renew each one of us in a different way, Lord, that we may be transformed into your will so that we'd be able to receive the heart and the plans that you have for each one of us, Lord. We take this in your honor and glory. Partake. Thank you.
you, Matt. I want to just go over everything that we said tonight and then want to ask some people to pray. You know, in Joel 2:28, literally is what John's experiencing, and that more of you are going to start experiencing it if you're not already. And it was about pouring out the Spirit. In 27, he says, and you shall know and understand and realize that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. My people shall never be put to shame. And afterward, well, what's the afterward? I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and daughters shall prophesy. You see the new prophets that are raising up around the world? People we didn't know about. And old men, now John, you and I fall into this, old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. There was a vision by Marsha Burns just yesterday, and it goes perfectly with John's. He said, in a vision I saw, she said, I saw a man launch himself off a cliff with a paraglider. He seemed to be falling, and presumably to his death. But then he caught a thermal and was lifted up to soar above the land, and she heard the Lord say, many of my people have launched themselves into things that they seem like they're falling and failing. But I tell you honestly that I am with you to cause you to rise above your failure into a position of victory. 1 Corinthians says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in that season. What I was talking about, signs, wonders, and miracles, and the Great Awakening. We're in that season of the Great Awakening. We're literally get to be a part of what God is doing, but there's going to be a high price. Nothing happens just simply. It comes with a price. When you look at Pentecost, and I talked about the sound, and the sound of the rushing wind happened at Pentecost, and it was a new sound, and everybody started speaking in tongues. Acts 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house and they were where they were sitting. And it appeared above them divided tongues as a fire. Remember I talked about the fire, the light of God. And it sat upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in new tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. We're all waiting for that great awakening, that great revival, just as back then the men and women of Israel were talking about the Messiah coming to bring judgment against the evil. Well, you know what? We're still doing the same thing. We want to judge against the liberals and the attitudes and those that are bringing destruction around the world, the terrorists. We want God to show up and do something. Well, you know what? He already has. We have to press into the atmosphere of heaven, not the atmosphere of the earth, and it's going to take prayer. We founded this on prayer, but it's always been a teaching prayer call, and God is saying it's going to take great prayer, and we're going to have to pay a price. The suddenly movements that we keep waiting for don't come about without a cost, and that cost is being down on your knees. That cost is a heart that's literally prostrate before the Lord, that it's humble. And when our heart is humbled before the Lord God, all of a sudden he pours out his great Spirit and love, and suddenly take place. The suddenlies of the Spirit overtake us in any given time that we'll submit. And we're in that time and season where moments of suddenlies are going to transform not only us, but everything about us. There's going to be a rushing wind of the tongues and the fire of God and a new sound, a new praise, a new worship. There's going to be people singing in church, and it's going to be but only in tongues. And people are going to look around and say, what is going on? Why aren't they singing the song? They are singing the song. You have to look past what the flesh is doing and recognize that God has created a pathway, a runway, a highway to come unto him with boldness in the Spirit and truth through a new sound, a new song, a new praise, a new prayer. It's going to be through pressing in to have the mind of Christ, like Matt's been talking about, that we will overcome and conquer that which the enemy has come against us with. There's going to be great challenges and giants that we're going to face this year. The signs in the heavens are there, the blood moons, the blue moons, the earthquakes, the volcanoes. All these things are going about, the constellations, things that were prophesied in Scripture 3,800 years ago for some of them. thousands of years ago. They were prophesied and seen, and it would only happen at one time. Some of them were 2,000 years. Some of them were 3,000 to 4,000 years. They could only happen one time because the constellations had to be lined up, and God said, woe to you, inhabitants of the earth. Satan the dragon was cast down, and he took with him a third of the stars. So the stars represented the angels. A third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels, came down to the earth to torment and break out and become just obnoxious in what they're doing. And you're seeing that in the United States and around the world today. You're seeing it everywhere we go. Woe to you, inhabitants. But God, through prayer, through pressing in, through having the mind, through having the heart, through bringing the proper fire before the Lord, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles take place as never before. Now, because of the time and the season we're in, we're going to start having a few guests. Next week it's actually 2 weeks. Matt has to be somewhere, and Mark's going to be joining us to bring a teaching. Once a month, I'm going to bring somebody on. I'm going to ask Pastor Samuel, who's on the call with us tonight, to bring a teaching. I'm going to ask several other people. Those of you that are on the call, I'm going to start using you to bring teachings, that you'll join us in our work, that you can be raised up and prepared to be sent out, that God is going to use you mightily. You're going to have signs, wonders, and miracles take place. You're going to dream dreams and have visions. And then that God will give the interpretation. Now, I've asked several of you just to be prepared, and Van, I know that you came on as a guest, and it's a long call, but it's not anything like any of our other services. I'm going to ask Van if you would pray and prophesy. Pastor Thaddeus T. Van Samuel and I are dear friends. We pastor together. We still minister together when we can. And God's got a call on his life. And Van, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, I wish you would pray for us this night. I'm asking that the Lord would honor what we've taught tonight and bring some of that in. But whatever God has put on your heart, bring it for his glory. Pastor T. Van Samuel.
Well, thank you, Wade. The whole time I've been sitting listening, there's been something that has truly been on my heart, and that is the place that we are in. Everyone knows that Peter said, with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. Each of the days of creation actually can be broken down to line up with the season that we're in right now. And just to go straight to it, because I don't want to go into any depth with it, day six was when the Lord created man. And after every day, the first 5 days, he said, it is good. But when it came to his creation of man, he said something that it's very good. And if we could understand the period that we are in right now, we would understand that we were in the greatest time period that the church will ever see and know, because we are in that space where everything that we do right now is going to be very good and honored by the Lord, especially for those who will seek his face and seek his presence. And so I'm just going to go into prayer right now. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for what you're doing, not only in us individually, but what you're doing in our nation. We realize that we're in a place that needs you, that desires you, and as a result, we come to you with great and humble hearts tonight that are open to hear your word, that are open to seek your spirit and open to be in your presence. The fire that was spoken of tonight, we need you, Lord. We need you in the same way that the fire that came to the altar of incense could only be lit by the high priest, and the fire that was on the the golden candlestick could only be lit by the high priest. Even now, Jesus, you as our high priest, light us up tonight. Light us tonight with your glory. Light us tonight with your fire. Light us tonight with your presence, that we will be able to spend our lives pouring out into a lost and hurting First Nation and then a lost and hurting world. We need you, Lord. Without you, we won't make it. And so we call upon you now as our God, as our King, that we look towards you, the author, the finisher of our faith. You alone, Lord, can bring us to that place. And therefore we bless you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. You know, it's exciting to know that we're in this season, that we're in that day. We're in the time where it glorifies God as we press in. Richard, if you get a word to pray this night, a thanksgiving, a word, whatever God's put on your heart.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to keep it simple and straight on. It's, I want to do a reading and then put some words with it. One of the verses is, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And another verse, it says, he will have no fear of bad news. And I take that to be as a man. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The Lord says, worship me only. Whatever occupies your mind, the most becomes your God. Worries, if indulged, develop into idols. Anxiety gains a life of its own, parasitically infesting your mind. Break free from this bondage by affirming your trust in me and refreshing yourself in my presence. What goes on in your mind is invisible, undetectable to other people. But read your thoughts continually, searching for evidence of trust in me. I rejoice when your mind turns toward me. Guard your thoughts diligently. Good thoughts, choices will keep you close to me. And I have some things that I try and keep in my mind as kind of a compass. And they're just quick things that you can hold on to. One of them is speak the truth. Another one is to pay attention. Another one is to be accountable. The next one is ask for what you want. The next one is keep your agreements. And one of the most important ones is to find the value in all things. And what I take combining all this together is to be present and conscious in your own mind and be aware of things that you're bombarded with in the world we live in. So much of it is, very negative. And you don't want to accumulate those things. By finding the value in all things, you can keep things positive. And it's a continual self-cleansing, which allows more of God's Spirit to come in you and allows you to do and say the things that bless the Lord. And I think we all have that same purpose, that the things we do and say bless the Lord. And I pray God to open up our eyes and our ears so we can hear the message and do the things that bless him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm sitting here agreeing with you and got my phone on mute. Powerful. Now, I'm going to have Tim, I'm going to ask Mark to pray, and then we're going to pray for several people. And we want to pray for John Rockwell's grandson. We want to pray for Governor Mason, Mel's wife again, and anybody that, if there's anyone that needs prayer, I'm going to ask, and we'll lift up. I know there's financial needs for everybody, but I'm talking about physical needs. Van, if you wouldn't, you have the anointing on healing on you, so we're gonna. I'm going to ask you to pray for some of these real quick. Mark, the Lord give you something.
Yes, thank you. I'm just going to pray a prayer, the first one I wrote for Congress here. Almighty God, please hear our prayer. We come before you with a humble heart to ask for your direction and guidance as we strive to do your will and work towards re-inhabiting the republic that you and the Founding Fathers have so carefully established. Starting with the everlasting Abrahamic covenant that is unalterable, unchangeable, and immutable, and continuing on with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, the BSI, and, of course, the Holy Bible, being a law form of a government founded by and for Christians, people who wanted only to love one another and worship God in the way they saw fit to do. We ask for your blessings and guidance as we work towards educating your people in the proper role of Bible and your word, Father. We pray also for our eyes and ears to be open to your plan of salvation as available to everyone who will truly repent of their sins and look to the word made flesh that walked among us, Jesus Christ, who's returning to earth at the seventh trump, to rule the nations with an iron rod as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray also for the courage of conviction, strength, and faith as we face the challenges of our adversary Satan in his many names and forms, his fallen angels and his children, the Kenites, and the roles they play as a locust army and in the four hidden dynasties described in the book of Joel. We are mindful of them and know that they will be used by you, Lord, to test us at the close of this earth age before Jesus Christ returns. We are also mindful that Jesus Christ gave us power over them using his name, so we have nothing to fear. Because mankind fears only the unknown, Jesus foretold us all things in his word, the Bible. We have only to read the word with understanding. We pray for forgiveness of anything that we have done may have done to offend you, Father, and ask that we may begin again with a clean slate. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We give you all the praise and glory for any triumphs we may have in moving your republic forward, praying according to your will and in your only begotten Son's name, Jesus Christ. God save the republic. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. As I stated earlier and at the beginning of the call, John Rockwell's grandson has been diagnosed with a precursor of autoimmune disorder, and that can manifest in many different ways, and we want to come against that. Tim Mason and his recovery from the... what is the name of your grandson, John?
Elliot.
Okay, and then Tim Mason in recovery of his surgery. I have not gotten a report. Did you get a report on him, John?
He is having surgery on the 13th of next month.
Okay, so they changed it. Okay. Yeah, all right. He's got cancer in the kidneys?
Correct. Uh-huh.
And we've seen that healed here on this call. We've seen kidneys restored. My granddaughter, Quinn, is in her sixth day of 104 temperature. And, you know, the precious babies mean more to us than anything. And I'm sure there's many others. Let me just go down. Connie, I'm also going to have you pray at the very end, if you would. Do you have anyone in your family that's sick and needs healing? Connie?
Well, yes and no. My brother has had diabetes for years. He doesn't have to take insulin yet, but eventually he will.
Okay. Greg, is there anybody in your family? Mr. Johnson.
No, we're all in pretty good shape, actually. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Monty, is there any grandkids or children that we need prayer for? Pray for?
Yeah, I've got a grandson that's challenging, okay, is all I can say. JJ.
Okay. What's his name?
JJ. Jesse
JJ.
James.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Richard, is anyone in the family? I know you and your wife have battled, but would you like us to lift you up in prayer? We lift you up in prayer all the time anyhow, but is there a healing need?
We're doing pretty good, but we would always want to go higher.
What's your wife's name? I forget.
Geraldine.
That's
Geraldine,
right.
Geraldine.
Okay. Mark's, anybody in the family?
No, I think we're being blessed with good health right now. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Pimbleton, I know that we got issues over there. Is there anyone particularly that you'd like us to pray for?
Well, my friend Elizabeth, she's been dealing with a pre-arthritis condition in her back area. And, you know, I'm dealing with something with my blood sugar where it's been okay, normal, but the last few days, for some reason, it's up and down. It's just causing a lot of energy problems.
All right, Van, is there anybody, any of the grandkids or anybody that we want to lift up?
Not at this time.
Okay. I'm going to just open the list, and then if you
want to ask John Underwood if he has any prayer need at all.
I'm sorry, John, I jumped right over you. John Underwood, is anybody in the family?
Continue to believe with me for my wife to fall in love with Jesus and love with me.
All right. Will do.
Praise God. Yes.
Okay. We had a bunch of people leave the call time-wise, so all of you out there to tie in to the call later, we will be lifting up in the spirit also. Ben, I'm gonna lift up these names, and then since I'm aware of them, and then I'm going to ask you to pray and come in agreement with this, if you would.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, we come in your precious name. We come in the name of Yeshua. We have grandchildren in Elliot and Quinn and JJ that are in great need of healing and deliverance, autoimmune disorders, fever, sickness, emotional challenges, mental challenges. Governor Mason fighting cancer, Richard and his beautiful wife, who've battled through cancer. Elizabeth, who's fighting back disorders and emotional challenges. David finding diabetes and blood sugar. Lord, there's many out there. At any given time, we could find hundreds that need prayer, but we're lifting these up. Lord, I'm lifting myself up. I finished recovering from the stroke. I have some minor challenges that have come on this week, but that's not important. The importance is that we come before thy throne of grace. Ask for healing. Now, so often, Lord, you've seen me call upon my dear brother, Pastor Thaddeus Van Samuels, and he's come to the hospital to pray, literally gone before thy throne and asked you why or why not, and signs and wonders and miracles, healings have broken forth. So, Lord, there is an anointing on his life, and I've asked him to come and lift all these people up, that you would hear our prayer and that you would bring about a deliverance in the healings. And then, Lord, healings in relationships like John Underwood with his wife and family. There's so many challenges out there today. We need to love each other and love you. So, Lord, I lift these all up before the throne, and I surrender to Pastor Samuel.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your word in flesh form, that it would be our healing. And then you left it here in spirit form, that it might fulfill that which you sent it forth to do. So, Father, all of these names that have been lifted up before you, knowing that there's no distance or realm in the spirit, we pray a hedge of protection around them right now, around their spirits, around their bodies, around their minds, knowing that it's hard to build in the midst of a storm. And as we pray this hedge of protection around them right now, we take authority by every spirit that has been assigned to them, every spirit of infirmity, and we cut off all communication now. They receive no help in this moment. And Father, we take authority over every word that has been spoken over every person's body, every person's need, every person's sickness right now. It might be a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is you have sent your word and declared us free based on your word. And so I speak to every sickness, and I say in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, I curse the root, fruits, and seeds of everything you've done, planned, and attempted to do in the lives and bodies of these people. I cancel your assignment, and I say go now in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I boldly decree that healing comes upon their lives right now. Your word says that you desire it for them. In 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. And so right now, we say, bodies, you line up with the word of the living God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you walk in health now in Jesus' name. I curse every lying symptom. I curse everything the enemy has done, planned, and attempted to do in their bodies. And I boldly declare freedom now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're trespassing on bodies that have been paid for with the blood. And just like they were baptized into Jesus at the Red Sea, they were baptized into sonship. It is illegal to chase a son. And therefore, the Lord said that you will see your enemies no more. And so, Father, I speak to the enemy of sickness. You're coming back for a church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. And I speak to those areas of sickness. And I say, be gone now in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's any place that anyone has opened the door to the sickness, I speak wisdom now. Your word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him come unto you and ask. Give them wisdom to shut that open door, that they may walk free of every sickness, every disease, and walk in divine health that can only come from you. And so, Father, right now, we thank you because we call it done. We don't wait until we see the manifestation, but we call it done now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Matt, is there anything you'd like to say before we close?
No, I think we're in a great place.
All right, John?
I'm going to agree with Matt. We're in a good place.
Connie, would you close us in prayer?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, your Son, and through the Holy Spirit, we thank you for everything that was said tonight, every lesson that was taught, and we pray that we remember it, that it just goes in the head and out. We don't want that. We want it to stay. We want to think on it. We want to do it. We want to be yours through and through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I will close with this. This is a week where we're to get alone with the Lord as this blue moon comes, as this once in a blue moon, as they say, comes. We need to get alone with the Lord and sing a song. You might say, well, I don't sing, or I got a terrible voice. To him, it's music. If you pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm going to close with that. Got to sing. Lift up a song, a new sound. Lift it up unto Him and watch what He does. He's releasing praise from heaven. Just tie into that. You'll start hearing. You'll start hearing the trumpets. You'll start hearing the angels sing. I've heard them sing many times. Van has heard the angels sing. We've been in the place where we know what it sounds like. David's got a call on him to bring new songs, and I'm going to be calling on him soon. Some of those new songs he's working on, he's going to have to give them to us. He's going to have to let them go because God is getting ready to move. So I close with this. May the Lord bless you. May His countenance rest upon you. May the glory of the Lord shine through you, and may you be a light in darkness. And with that, I'm turning the recording off, and I say,